us to be willing to see the thing that we consider to be so ugly, so you can make us so beautiful. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, today we are confronted by so many competing ideas on how to live our lives. Think about that. I mean, really. I thought about that this week. So I was looking up some things, and I thought, I looked up this, and I was amazed how the self-improvement books went from 30,897 in the world at during the year 2014. And then the last one they checked was 2019. It went from, in 2014, it was 30,897 self-help books. And it jumped by 2019 to 85,253. And it kind of, it got too hard to count. They don't have them for 2021 because they said it escalates so fast they can't keep up. That, and they said those are estimates, so it could be a whole lot more. Then I thought, think about that. That's just every possible idea of how to improve your life. People were put into a book. There are over 4,000 recognized religions in who are trying to do the same thing. Think about that. I think everyone starts out their life wanting to be successful. I don't think anybody does. No matter what you believe, wherever you've been born in this world, you start your life out wanting to be successful. So which way do you use? Which system should we use to get there? I believe, in my opinion, it comes down to only just two ways. Just two. I don't care what anybody says, just two. There's God's ways, and then there is self. And every conceivable way to express that. See, all these different ways that statistics I showed you in the beginning are quoted, is just an expression of living your life through self. And then there's God's ways. In my opinion, I believe that God's ways is the only way that works. I tried many other ways to live early in my life and it did not work. But when I started using God's ways correctly, it started working for me. Things started coming together in my life. But if we would stop and look around our societies, wherever you may be, things aren't going right. A lot of things are going wrong. And there's a lot of confusion about who has the best way. Now, I'm talking to you brothers and sisters out there, those of you that are here, us Christians. I think the Christian community that we are adding to that confusion because we are living our Christianity merged with other ideas. We're not fully expressing God's way to do things. We're taking some of God's ways and then adding them to self, or you could say the world's way. And I think it's really adding to the confusion. So I'm going to start off with Mark 2:22. Here's what's written. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin. Now I'm quoting this scripture because the transforming truth you can get out of that scripture is this. Practicing traits from the world's systems and traits from God's ways, that's why we have the problems we have, Christians. That's why people are confused by our way of life. Because you can't take wrong thinking and then take right thinking, put them together, and everything's going to be okay, because it's not going to work. Amen. You're going to be that wineskin that breaks. Because if you try living your life that way, okay, if you try to live your Christianity through, or Christianity with God's ideas and some of your own, then this is going to prevent you from having emotional, mental, spiritual healing, and you're going to be adding to the confusion for everyone else. I'm going to, James 1:8 says this. Now, I'm not going to read it, but you can see for yourselves. But it tells you that a double-minded person is unstable in whatever they do. Whatever they put their mind to. If you're double-minded, you're going to be unstable. I thought about that, so I was kind of looking that up, and basically it's saying this, you know, that what it's oh man, my mind, how to put this into words. Because see, what I've observed that I think is what double-mindedness, you could say it is, put it into a better or more modern term, is I've observed that our tendency as human beings, that when you're double-minded, you lack self-control. Think about your life this morning, Christians. Think about your life. Do you lack self-control in the things you put your mind to? You have contrary behaviors. You have shifting attitudes and beliefs. And then you have unmanageable emotions oftentimes. And what do I mean by that? So the Bible talks about unstable. This is what happens. If you're trying to live your life with a little bit of God, a little bit of the world, you're going to be unstable. When I say unstable emotions, have you ever try really hard to be a you know, just a really emotionally solid person, and somebody say something that just makes you really irritated, and before you have a chance to catch yourself, you're already mouthing off, or you're already putting them in their ways with some really strong emotions. And you don't have to be a person who has a chemical imbalance to do that. I've had people set me off in seconds, made me really mad, and I'm going to set them straight. That's an unstable emotional being, isn't it? Or have you ever done this? Now, you know, with your spouse, or your spouses are here, don't raise your hands. Have you ever planned date night? And you got all your, you know, guys, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to be romantic. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then you're getting, and then date night starts happening, and she says something that make you mad before you have a chance. You hurt your feelings, or whatever you want to call the word. And then you'll get frustrated and say something that makes her mad, and you ruin the whole date night. I mean, it took you a week to plan this and 10 seconds to destroy it, because you're emotionally unstable. Double-mindedness, that's what I mean by that. So I thought this morning, let's examine ourselves. See, the Bible has a lot of information. It's not there for you to use it. The Bible is not a club for everyone else around you. It's for you to examine yourself. So let us together examine ourselves. Let's take the light of the Scriptures, shine it in this darkness inside, and let's see what is hidden from us, what the Holy Spirit can reveal. Because I want to yield over to God what I want Him to change in me. Amen. I want to get out of His way so I can be the best me. I bet everyone in here wants to be the best them. And you out there in the stream, I bet you want to be the best you. But this shine light on those areas that we cannot see on our own, okay? And that's scriptural, because in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it actually uses the word by Paul, says, examine yourself. So just so you know, it's in there. What I want to do today is we're going to compare transforming truth to our traits of everyday life. What we practice in our lives, attitudes, and all kinds of things like this. I use the word self-expression is pretty much what all these different ways of life is, but that's gonna be a lot of words for me to spit out. So what I'm gonna say is I'm gonna say the world's way. That's what us Christians terminology. We use the word the world's way. Well, what that means is expression of self and every possible expression of self versus God's. But instead of saying it that way, I'm gonna say the world's versus God's to make it really simple. Okay. So every time you hear me say the world, just think thousands of different ways. We're going to examine simple areas, because we don't have all day long, with principles that you can use in other areas of your life when you get home or this week. Okay, so I'm going to kind of set you up for, see, this principle work in more than one area. We're going to look at things such as judging, influencing others, general decisions, dealing with situations, and general ways that we should live. Okay, so I want you to look at your life this morning. I'm offering you an opportunity to examine yourself. Okay, let's look at one. Let's look at judging. Every one of us make judgments. Okay, you have to. You have to make judgments in this life. I specifically want to talk about making decisions about other people. Because we interact, that's pretty much your world. When the Bible talks about your environment, oftentimes it's really talking about relationships. Because isn't that our environment in reality? So how does the world deal with people? How does it? Well, if you use the world system of doing these things, it's going to be based on inadequate information. Inadequate information. See, your information is limited. Mine is limited. You can't know all things about a person's experience because you haven't been there with them from birth until wherever they're at now. I haven't been with everyone that. So there's so many experiences a person has had before you met them. And even in that day, you may not know what's going on. So I'm limited. I have personal limitations also that affects that. Like, I've got distorted perceptions. We don't like to hear that word, but it's true. We usually perceive things through a filter. That filter is what? It's your injuries. How many times, think about this, how many times in your life has someone, you had a conversation with someone, hurt your feelings, then you talk to them later and realize you didn't hear them right, or they meant something different than what you thought they said. Now, here's something that God taught me about that. If it happened once and it took me a few days to notice it, then how many times does it happen that I don't notice? Just think about that. And sometimes injuries themselves can interfere with how we interact with people. Sometimes we'll judge them through fears. See, we're inaccurate information affects us. That system, if it's functioning in your life, Christians, it's going to cause you problems. If you're making judgment through fears, you're going to cause problems in your life. Sometimes we can have a guilt complex that causes us to function. This is what fears can be about. Now, sometimes we will judge and criticize people. Sometimes it's to hide our own weakness. We'll point out about somebody lying. Oh, that person lies all the time because we lie. Or you attack other people's weaknesses because you have potential for similar things or a similar weakness that you're worried about. Okay? Sometimes pride affects how we interact with other people. Why? How does that work? Well, when you have what I call false pride, is because false pride is that you are trying to build up your low self-esteem. Instead of Christ being your esteem, you try to build it up. And we do that because since we're not capable of causing our self-esteem to be lifted, if something's too heavy, you can't lift it. You know, anybody in here, well, don't raise your hands, but, you know, Streamland, everybody out here, if you ever done landscaping or artistry or anything, if something's too heavy to lift, what is one of the best ways to make it look like it's taller? You lower everything else. Okay. So, you know, if you're like me, 5'10", you feel tall until my brother-in-law comes around, who's 6'3". Now I'm a midget. Or a really, really short person. Or a really small person. But we will lower people. How do we lower people? We'll criticize their clothes or their tastes, their ideas, or their appearances. You know, like, oh, man, I wouldn't dress like that. That dude looks fine looking. Or I wouldn't have that hairdo if you're a lady or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not a woman, so I don't know what you guys look at, but what you judge. Maybe you don't maybe judge the color of your shoes, or they don't have enough shoes or whatever. But we'll lower people trying to build our esteem, so we hurt our relationships. This is how the world does things. Now, how does a Christian, or let me put it like this, because what is a Christian capable of doing? I say that because if we're living by two different systems in our lives, you may not be functioning where you should be. But what are you capable of as a Christian? If I stop using the world systems in my life and decide to use Christ, what am I capable of doing? Well, I'm capable of judging things based on understanding and not my limitations. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 through 6. Let's read that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. The scripture says this: trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Then in all your ways, I said then, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He'll direct your paths if you don't lean on your own understanding and you acknowledge his ways, then he can direct your paths. Proverbs 1 and 7, Proverbs 1 and 7. This is what's written. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, a Christian is capable of considering, hey, I've got limitations. I've got limited information. So I'm going to make my decisions in those boundaries. Be careful how I respond. I'm going to take in consideration there might be something that I don't know. I'm going to, when I approach a situation or a subject or a person, how much do I really know about this? I'm going to take those thoughts in consideration. Are there possibilities that I haven't considered? Have you ever been into a situation where with someone it went kind of negative or whatever, and then you found out there was one thing you didn't know? Possibilities that you just didn't think about that, and you laugh at yourself because it was simple. Something you figure you would think of, but you didn't. So there might be possibilities that I don't know. So what am I narrowing this down to in this step? Galatians 6 and 1 sums it up. Galatians 6 and 1 will sum this up. It says, brethren, and that means sister and two, if a person is overtaken in trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore the such a one in the spirit of gentleness. And then it says, considering yourself, lest you be tempted too. In other words, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be gentle because I'm going to think, hey, I got to remember I can fall too. How would I want someone to help me get back up? So what I'm saying is a person is going to weigh, Christian is capable of weighing all the good, or weigh the overall good in the situation. Another step, influencing others. How's the world system? What do they do? You don't like a person's behavior. Now, anybody ever had that problem? Some of us still do. I mean, let's be honest. People are not going to always respond in a way that I appreciate. You don't like a person's behavior. So how does the world deal with something they don't like about someone else? Well, they respond oftentimes with rejection, intimidation. That can be verbal, nonverbal cues. Passive-aggressive questions. You ever had somebody ask you passive-aggressive questions? My wife does that. Oh, you going to dress like that? Nope, I was just testing you. they make fun of people till they conform to, you'll make fun of them till they conform to your desire of what you want out of them. This is how the world deals with those things, see? But what is a Christian capable of with other people's behavior? Well, when you observe something, you will try to give this person some information, okay? Transforming truth. Not to make them conform to what to stop bothering you, but to give them the opportunity to learn so they can be their best in that situation. It's for their benefit. You'll share information for their benefit. You don't even take in consideration that you're bothered because that just doesn't matter. We're capable of dealing with it through acceptance, and we will encourage them with positive or confrontive positive behavior. Now, why did I say confrontive positive reinforcement? Because sometimes you have to confront a person with the truth. And sometimes we don't take that very well, do we? Sometimes we don't. Do I need to switch? Okay, I'm going to switch. Test, there we go. Man, I got to keep my hand still now, or I'll throw a mic across the room. Sometimes you have to confront a person with truth. See, but it's actually a positive experience because sometimes you have to be jolted. You ever had bright light shine in your face about blind you? You know, has anybody ever had that happen? You know, you ever see, okay, I know this is a little bit off to the side, but I always thought it was funny how men and women handle flashlights. Women are like, chick. Men are always like, chick. Larry joked around with me about that. I felt kind of embarrassed. I'm like, yeah, dude, don't I? Shot about 1,000 lumines into my eye, and I can't see anything for a while. But see, that's what we do when truth hits us. We're kind of like taken back, and then sometimes we get, you ever just get kind of irritated a person for blinding you? You know, when your kids joke around with you with a flashlight, don't you get, sometimes you'll get a little irritated at first? Well, that's what we do with truth. Sometimes we don't like it, but it's good for you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and in Christ. This is talking about how God's people can be, how what we're capable of, that we can come together with love, knitted together, encourage each other, so we can be assured in all what Christ has to offer us together. Amen? That's how we can deal with influencing other people. Decisions generally. So we make general decisions. There's all kinds of decisions. That right there's a whole week's worth of discussion, but I got to narrow this down faster than that. So what are general things that the world makes decisions in? Well, when they make a decision, it's usually based on short-term results, drives, or injuries. Okay. What do I mean by that? Well, sum it up. Well, what I want today. What I want this week. I want it right now. I want this. I want that. I want you to stop talking right now. Because you're bothering me. You know, different things that we do. We have that drive. Got to have it now. I just need results immediately. We develop relationships. The world will develop relationships on short-term satisfaction. You know, that can be friendship or it can be romance, romantic. We will build friendships based off someone cracks us up. They just bust me up, man. But they're the worst person to be around. They got horrible character. Or we will make relationships with people because it's comfortable. They don't threaten us being around them. They don't talk about anything irritating. They, you know, like the same movies, like the same songs, whatever, do the same things. In the world, they would steal rather than work for something because it's faster. Or compromise your beliefs to fit in. I remember when I was 16, 17, I was younger than that. I was around 15, 16 years old for a lot of my life. Up to that point, I was trying not to be un-Christ-like, you know. But then there was a period of time that I backslid and I gave in and I did the things they did. And they still couldn't fit in. I thought to myself,
Man, that was a tool. I compromised for nothing. We will compromise our beliefs in from the secular perspective or the self perspective just to be able to get that drive met or to get that short term met or whatever. Get that? Now, what is a Christian capable of? Well, turn to Psalms 25:12. What is a Christian capable of when making decisions? We will make long-term decisions. I mean, our decisions will be based on long-term. In Psalms 25 and 12, saying it backwards. Who then are those who fear the Lord? Who are those who fear the Lord? Well, he tells you. He says, he will instruct them in the ways they shall choose. Those who let God help them make the right decision are those who respect the Lord, respect his wisdom, respect what he has to say. We will make decisions based on Christ's values and not my personal value. That's what he's saying there. We will go to the scriptures to make a decision. We'll pray about it and go to the scriptures, see what the scripture, what are their principles and the truths of the word to make this decision. They're in there. Maybe not word for word, but the principles are in there so you can make a determination of what you're doing right now. Is it of God or not? Is it helpful or not? A Christian is capable of making decisions based on logic. True logic is actually of God. Thought out plans, think them out, weigh them out, examine things. And we will use successful principles from the scriptures to do all those things. This is what a Christian is capable of. So I'm telling you these things this morning so you could look at your life and see, okay, am I using two different systems at the same time or am I just using one? Dealing with life situations, because life is full of all kinds of situations, isn't it? Well, how does the world, what is their system of dealing with situations? Well, one principled way I would express it would be, when they get hurt, they hold on to it. Have you been there? When you hold on to hurt, you'll become resentful, bitter. You'll hold grudges against people. You're like, well, you know, I'd loan this lawnmower out, but they didn't bring the last one back 15 years ago. You'll hold that person in your mind in some kind of a flaw for the rest of your life because you're offended at them. We hold on to things. When we hold on to hurt, this is what you're doing. You are continuously giving permission to that person who hurt you to repeatedly cause you to live in that hurt. Now, you may not be saying to that person verbally, I give you permission to hurt me. But you are up here in here. You're letting that person have permission to hurt you every day, all the time, because you're hanging on to it. Okay? Or we're easily offended. We get angry. And then what does that happen? What happens to all these things? It's a cycle. You make poor decisions, and then you make poor decisions, and more poor decisions. Now, what is a Christian capable of? Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. As you're turning to Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, a Christian is capable of forgiving, having mercy, and then they're free. Let's see what it says. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, be forgiving one to another as God in Christ forgave you. For a Christian, forgiveness is for you to be free from your prison of hurt. I know that I've had this attitude in the past where, I don't want to forget that person because they don't deserve it. I don't want to forget that person because they get away with it. No, forgiveness is for me to be free. Amen. from what they've done to me. I can go on, move forward in my life. We're capable of giving mercy. Mercy is not, has nothing to do with who, whether a person deserves it or not. Because we don't deserve mercy from God, but he gives it to us. Because all of us have hurt someone. But the Bible says God has been merciful, forgiving to us. We can be free from our hurt, and we can go ahead and give that person the opportunity to be free from their hurt by giving them mercy. Now, that's not guarantee that a person will change, but give them the opportunity to be able to be different, like God did for me, and I grabbed a hold of it. And you can have patience. You have patience as this is begin, as God is working. So many times, as in the world, you want everything to happen now, but God and Kate Christians are capable of having patience. Because why is it important to have patience when God's working in your life and someone else's? Because I don't want God to take away my free will. Do you want God to take away yours? Okay, for that to happen, he needs to be able to change the world and protect free will, or to save free will, or to allow free will to exist. That means he's got to work his way through everything and convince us to choose to stop hurting each other. So that takes some time. That takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of things to be set up, especially when all the pieces in the game don't want to work, don't always want to. So I'm glad God is so wise, so smart, that he wants to preserve my free will. So he's working with me, working with you. Hey, we can have patience. Let him do his thing. So that way we all will choose someday to stop being hurtful. And it will last forever. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We can also... we will have a solid mind that's not easily bothered by every situation that happens to us. This is, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we can make logical and principled decisions from his word. Now, on my last point, I said general ways in life. First one was dealing with life situations, general ways. All kinds of different things that happen. How does the world deal with just about anything and everything that happens? Well, they gossip, they jest, and they embarrass others. I've been there. Believe the worst in others. They doubt intentions. They don't believe in people. They seldom consider what's best for the other person. They take what they can get when they can get it. They function defensive posture. You know what I mean by defensive posture? Well, they're always explaining. You ever had someone do something wrong and they go to apologize to you, then give you the big long explanation about it, but it's really, they're just saying that I didn't really do anything, you know. Yeah, justifying what they're saying, big long explanation. Why? Because they're desperate to prove their self. They're desperate to prove self-worth to themselves, and so they can feel vindicated, feel that I'm okay. Or they can do this. They will neutralize emotionally caring or feeling. It's called being numb. I don't care. You ever get on and have to talk to someone, they go, I don't care. Teenagers do that a lot. I don't care. Don't care. They have conditional loyalty in their friendships, in their relationships. They're loyal in relationships if that relationship benefits them, benefits self. These things I'm talking about is not necessarily like they think those words out, but they live it. We can live a definition. They're loyal, and when they are loyal, oftentimes it is only when that relationship is an extension of self. Like, for example, they're loyal to their kids, spouse, sphere of relationships. That can be friends and whatever. You know, it could be a group to hang out with. But personal satisfaction trumps all loyalty and character, even eventually in those relationships, because self is self-destructive. They will make unjust decisions because something has related to self. What I've noticed, that especially when I was in the world, that that when you're using those systems of life, you have a tendency to be prejudiced with your relationships. My kids, my spouse, my friends, my coworkers. You know, we joke around about Mama Bear coming out when something happens about the kids, you know. But men do the same thing. You don't talk about my kid like that. You know. But if that was someone else's kid doing the exact same thing, yeah, they'd care less. So, you know. So that tells me, wait a minute, you're only caring because it's your kid, but if that was someone else's kid, you'd care less. So you don't even, so that means that you're the way you're feeling toward your child is not really about your child, it's about you. Because if you really cared about that kid, you really had love for that your child, then you would be concerned about their well-being, what's best for them, not how you feel about it. What is a Christian? What are their capacity? What should our capacity be? What are we capable of? Well, we will be protective of others. I didn't write this scripture down, but there was a scripture says a faithful heart will conceal a matter. It means you won't go around slapping the lip. You don't want to go around smacking the lips. You know, lip smacking, you know, all the time. No, you will see something, hear something, keep it to yourself. But, I mean, you will go tell the right person, like the pastor or a counselor, so they can go help the person, but you won't go around telling everybody about it. If you're having a prayer service and you want to share, you're probably using the world system. You know, everybody ever been to one of those prayer meetings? Let's pray for so-and-so because I saw them at the bar, they were coming out of the bar last night. They give you all the details. I'm pretty sure that's not using the Christian principle. They will believe in a person's potential because Christ's involved. They will believe in a person's intent in spite of them making a mistake. Oh, I believe your intent. I believe you really want to do what's right. You just goofed up. When they consider a person's track record, it will be done through Christ's will. You know that? What I mean by that is, like, maybe you loaned out something. Now, we joke around about tools, but that's just a practical, easy thing to use. But maybe when a person wants to borrow your tool and they got a bad track record about bringing it back. Well, whether or not you loan that out to them, you're going to consider that. Well, is it God's will to loan this to them in spite of their track record? Because God may say, go ahead and give that tool to them. But God, they got a bad track record. Give it to them anyway because that's my will. Okay. That's what we will weigh out. And a Christian will weigh things out. And they will only take what they should have. And willing to sacrifice even that should the need rise. All in Christ. They're not defensive because God is their defender. And if they need to share an explanation, it will be done appropriately. Because sometimes you have to sit down and you give some information to a leader or a pastor or your boss or whatever. But you'll do it in the right setting. You'll do it in appropriate terms. We are loyal. A Christian should be loyal, capable of being loyal, because they value character above satisfaction. They value a person, being a person that can be counted on for Christ. They work toward long-term happiness rather than to just do things to get there. They learn, instead of have to take something to be happy, experience something to be happy. They will learn to think how to be happy. Instead of taking something to have fun, they learn how to be fun. They will learn how to get the best that life can offer in Christ. And they look at this between brothers and sisters in the Lord. A Christian's way is capable of being once a friend, always a friend. Situations of hurt. Well, this is the context of what I mean by that in. Sometimes, let's be honest, when we're serving God, we're on this journey here together, sometimes we hurt each other because we're learning how to be less hurtful, right? Well, a Christian is capable of being hurt, yet they still respect that other person in their heart. And they're going to hang in there and learn how to be that person's friend, and give them time to learn how being a friend also. We'll give that room. That is why I've been able to be successful and happy in my life, because all of you, and some aren't here, had given me room to grow, room to make mistakes, room to even be hurtful, and learn how to stop being hurtful. And I contribute that to Christ first, and then the Christ in all of you, who gave me that time, gave me that room that I needed. A lot of you here have been a friend to me until I learned how to be a friend in return. And a Christian is capable of having balanced decisions. It's a process. No matter who a relationship is affiliated with will not matter to you. Doesn't matter if it's your daughter, your son, your spouse, your friend, that's not going to be a part of the equation. Your decision process and whatever is happening is that you're going to base it on what is right, what is just from the Scripture. So, if you will sow to the Spirit, is what I'm sharing with you today, if you will sow to the Spirit, you will have the best life that you can have emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, in any circumstances. Now, I'm clarifying that also is that I want to tell you this. Wherever you're at, whatever happens to you, because sometimes bad things happen, as a Christian, you are capable to have the best of any situation that comes into your life. Now, I'm not saying that the situation will be ideal, but you whatever God can bring out of this situation, because most of our problems we bring on ourselves, but God can bring something, you know, give you the very best you can experience in that moment. Like one example that I would use is, you know, a long time ago, many years ago, Mike's wife, Cynthia, before she died from Huntington's. Anybody knows anything about Huntington's, it's a pretty difficult thing to experience yourself as well as watching it. But one thing that always I really admired about our church is that many rose to the occasion to give her the best life in Christ that God could give her in that situation, Huntington's. Because many people, I have read how they just got put into a home because families don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to work with someone. So then they a lot of times are lonely. But she was able to have the very best life she could have while still having Huntington's. And God used us as instruments to minister to her. So if you will look at your life today, examine it. Which system are you using? And get rid of the one that doesn't work in that moment and use Christ's, because that works. You will be successful. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. We'll see you at 11 a.m. next Sunday, and we appreciate you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. It's good? Okay. I have an announcement. I announced it earlier, but we do have a need with the electrical bill for the school and the church. So if you can help, you know, we really need it. Or we're going to have to invest in candles next time we come here. If it's warm enough. Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, would you please help me push the seats back? Now, gentlemen, I do appreciate you doing that. Well, whoever helps, I appreciate it all. But accordion, all the way back without going to the left, well, not going to the right, okay? Because for one thing, it moves the legs. So just push them straight back. Somehow, one side, at the very least, ends up being a foot to 2 feet way over there. I don't know how that happened. So go straight back where we're at. And then help me bring out the exercise equipment for cardio class. I would appreciate it so that way it's not in there for bothering the school. Thank you. Yeah, I keep forgetting to get a bigger one for it.